Okay, thank you, brethren.
Thank you, Brother Mark. Tos anointed. Praise the Lord.
Who's that?
Well, Brother Mike, you usually have something to share.
Yeah, I have one little thing to say. We've been talking about they love not their lives unto the death. And I want to ask everybody a question in just a second. Now we know that Jesus, what kind of a guy Jesus was, right? He was full of love, mercy, understanding. I mean, did he ever do anything wrong? Did he ever sin? Okay. So I want to ask everybody this question. Why did they hate Jesus? You know why they hated Jesus? Because he was exposing who they were. And so I want everybody to prepare themselves. If you're really going to live for God, they're going to hate you because you're going to be exposing who they really are. And I don't mean you run around telling everybody you're doing this and this wrong, you're doing this and that wrong. Just by you doing what's right, they're going to hate you. I mean, it's as simple as if you worked on an assembly line, putting the handles on buckets, and you could do 15 an hour, and everybody else could only do 3 an hour. They're not going to like you. You're showing them up, but you're not trying to show them up. You're just doing the job the best you can. Well, you're going to get hated. Might as well get ready for it if you really want to follow God, because it's going to happen. You're going to be, in my opinion, there's about 10% of the population that's really wants God. That means 9 out of every 10 people you meet, they're going to hate you if you're really going to follow God. And then lastly, I want to say, we talked about Jesus has to be number one. If Jesus isn't number one in your life, might as well be 500. That's how it goes. Amen.
Amen.
Just like to, amen. Just like to share an experience that I had, I don't know how many years ago, lots of them, maybe 30. We were in Kentucky looking for a farm, doing different things. I was working in kitchens in the county, and all of a sudden it was to the point we're looking for a farm, and a brother sent a letter to us and said, "Gee, we just don't have a peace about what you're doing." And I said, "Okay." So I took it to the Lord. Jim was driving over the road. Anyway, for 3 days I prayed, "Oh God." And what he showed was we could have whatever job we wanted, could get the farm, could have all of it, but that we would lose our soul. And that was what made me just get on my knees for those 3 days, because I didn't want it. It's not necessarily money. It's could anything, anything. It can be anything. And so what happened was I had the feeling of like laying Isaac on the altar. Said, "God, I do not, this is not worth my soul to do any of this. It is not worth it." So we do need to be careful. Whatever we retain is the very thing that will keep us out of the kingdom of God. So It is all. When the word says he's our all in all, that means he's our all in all, and we have to have our all in all in him. It's a reciprocal thing. We have to do both. He's given his all. So what do we have to give? We have to give our all of it, because nothing else, no other love can we have in our heart greater than the love of the Lord, because that's where everything else comes from. And so it is not necessarily money. It could be anything that we want more than we want the Lord that will keep us from being what God has intended us to be.
Amen. I want to say a little on the scripture that we are looking at in Revelations 12, 11. And the particular scripture is, "And they came and they overcame him by the word of their testimony." And my understanding of this is in two parts. The testimony, as we have heard here, first is what we proclaim, what we say with our mouths. But there is the other, what people say about us. The kind of life that we live, just as we heard from Bro Mike, that they will hate us. They hate us because we do something differently from what they do. And that thing we do that they do not like, they know is the right thing, is the truth. But because it is against them, they will hate us. And that is the second part of the testimony by which we overcome the enemy. Praise God.
Amen.
Brother Mark, as you were talking, I was just thinking back to the time when Paul and I got married. And for some reason, he picked a song for the communion service during our wedding. And the song says, "I give you my everything, my all." And I remember as we were singing it during the wedding ceremony, God came to me very specifically, and he said, "You're saying you give me my everything, your everything and your all. I want you to give me this man." And I didn't get married when I was 20. I was pretty, not old, I was older. So was my husband, and when God said it, I said, "Well, Lord, you just gave him to me, but okay, if you want him back, you can have him." And the thing I didn't know is that Paul specializes in surgeries, heart attacks, and cancers, and all this. And through every one of those situations, I can't even count the surgeries he had. Sometimes we even thought we lost him, and God graciously added years to his life. But every single time, God would always bring me back to that point of the wedding ceremony where I told him, "Yes, Lord, I give you my everything, my all. I give you this man. He is yours." And I can't even begin to tell you the comfort of the word of God, and that confidence that no matter what happens in our lives, we have no idea what's down the road for neither one of us. And I know most of you can, or all of you can attest to it, that God has spoken his word and he's going to carry the word through to the end. And in the midst of our trouble, he is faithful to adhere to the word that he has spoken. We just came back from the Illinois conference, and the whole time I was there, there was just one pressing thought on my mind, and it was, there is so much in God, and it's so easily and readily available. Why do we take so little? You see the riches in Christ, you read about it in the Bible, you read about it in the books, you walk your own life, and I'm looking at my life, and I'm looking at the congregation, and I'm thinking, God, there's so much in you. I can have so many riches in Christ. Why do we take so little? And so one day we are just sitting around the table and talking to the brethren. And there's a brother, and I'm asking him, I said, I just can't get this out of my mind. There is so much in God. Why do we take so little? And the Spirit of God just came upon this brother, and he began to talk. And the Spirit of God just filled the place. And he said, God has made all things available to us, but we have a big problem. And the problem is the old Adam. And the only way we can get the riches in Christ is if we take that Adam and nail him to the cross and leave him there and never take him down. But it's a daily thing that we have to do, just nail this old Adam on the cross. And I was going back to all the situations I was telling you about my amazing husband and his medical difficulties, and I always thought, God, if I can just leave my old Adam on that cross and every situation that is difficult, I can give to you and give all that I am and all I have to him. He always comes and replaces it with more of him in me. And it brings peace, it brings rest, it brings fulfillment, and it brings this confidence that our lives are completely hidden in him. And I was really touched by this one. One verse, Brother Mark, you are reading, and you said it's from Romans 16, and you were reading it, and you were saying you didn't know how it all fit in, that verse 20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. It actually, I'm looking at it, it's a continuation of verse 19 of that chapter, and it says, for your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I'm glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. And so it all comes back down to obedience, loving good, hating evil. And that's where our victory lies. Anyway, that's my
Amen.
what was coming to me as you were talking.
Amen.
Thank you for your obedience, Pavlina, in sharing that. So, well, I'm going to turn this off, but you can still speak.